Man, that song I was just playing, my kids would tell you, it's probably my 45th time playing that song since yesterday. Every time I hear it, it just breaks me down. It's just talking about, the song's called Bless You, Lord. Really, you can think about Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? He starts off by saying that in blessings, the word you that for blessing means to speak, to say a good word. So when he's saying, Bless you, Lord, he's saying in the song, he's saying, Praise you, God, bless you, Lord. And he's talking about all the things that God has brought him through. And so every time I hear that song, it just brings me to worship God. Because just a part in the song, the first part of the chorus where he says, could have went left, I know it. Meaning, I could have not been following God. I could have been in the world doing all these other things, but God saved me, which is why he's saying, Bless you, Lord. And so every time I hear that, I'm just like, that was me. I could have went left, not politically left. He's not talking about that, but just not the right way following God and where your life could be. And oh man, just even talking about it, God. And I was sharing this. I always got a story with my kids anytime I play music. Because music to me, I don't just listen to music. It means something. I look at lyrics, and there's a part in this song that talks about where he says, I see my brother laying there lifeless, and only God knows where he's going, meaning dead. And every time I hear that part, I think about in college. Some of you know this. I had a roommate my freshman year of college, Humble State. We stayed in a dorm together, small little room. I mean, just his bed there, my bed. We're right here, small little room. That was my guy. His name was Dave. And Dave, after my freshman year, he ended up moving back to the Bay Area, to Richmond. And he wasn't a street dude. He wasn't in the street life. Matter of fact, he was tutoring my youngest sister. He was her tutor when he left Humble State to come back to the Bay Area. He was actually tutoring my little sister at her school. So he was still going to college. He was going to Cal State East Bay. And you know they say wrong place, wrong time type situation. He's from Richmond. Richmond is a tough area. And he was just sitting in his car, and dudes ran up on him and shot up his car. And he died. He died in his early 20s. And just remember going and seeing him laying there in his casket, like, this is my roommate, my boy. And like, and then look at my life, I'm like, wow, God, I got to get married, right? Now I'm in my 40s. He didn't even make it. He died in his 20s. I get to get married and have kids and have a home. And I'm just thankful. Just like, man, you just never know. But just God's grace and mercy, and I just give him glory and I thank him for it. Because especially growing up in Oakland, I know so many people that just got killed right out of high school. So I'm just thankful for another day of life. That's what I'm getting at. Ooh, let me keep it together, Lord. Going to prayer, Heavenly Father, Lord, speak to your people, God. Speak to your people through your word, Lord. Whatever I don't make clear, God, will you just make clear on their ride home through the week? God, just want them to know you. And to live a life, Lord, that's just pleasing to you, God. Oh, God, give them a desire in their heart to live righteous for your glory. Speak, God, to your word, Lord. Amen. Let's see, Lord, get me through this, God. So today, saints, I want to continue our talk on righteous living. Like, remember last week we talked about righteous living, right? And I like to call this teaching that I'm doing the other side of righteous living. The other side of righteous living. Because in American Christendom, I can't speak in other countries, but here in American Christendom, we can sometimes focus on, as James would say, keeping ourselves unstained from the world. Remember, we touched on that. We can really focus on that and forget to visit those people that are in distress. We forget that aspect of righteousness. We can get so focused on trying to keep myself unstained from the world that I forget to do the other part of what James commands, which is to visit people in distress, the orphan and the widow, people that need your presence, that needs your prayers, that needs you to be there with them, to talk with them. And so this is the other side of righteousness, because we can so focus on avoiding sinful actions. We can so focus on that, again, avoiding these sinful actions, that we take no action. And this righteous life that we're called to live is more than taking no action and more than just avoiding doing sinful things in my life. We can spend so much of our time, saints, focus on making sure, again, we don't curse, we don't drink, we don't look at appropriate things on our phone, we don't go to certain places, we don't hang out with people. We can focus on all these things to make sure we don't. But then the question becomes, what then are you doing with your time? What are you doing when you took off those deeds of unrighteousness, as Paul tells us in Colossians and Ephesians, when you took off those deeds of unrighteousness, have you put on righteousness? Like, when you took those unrighteous things off, what did you put on? When you took those bad habits, when those God took those bad habits away, when you stopped doing those bad actions, when you stopped doing those unrighteous deeds, what did you replace them with? Are you doing more Bible study now? Again, you took off those unrighteous actions, but then, again, what are you doing with your time now? How are you using your tongue, your mouth now? Where are you taking your body now? Are you praying more now? Are you asking God to now help you to use the gifts in the unique way that He has made you to glorify His name now? Again, are you visiting people in distress now? How are you using your car? How are you using your finances now that you are walking with Jesus and you're no longer using them just for yourself and for your own pleasure? You're no longer using them just for your flesh. The question is, how are you using them now? How are you using your time now, saints? Are you now no longer doing those bad things, but are you just stuck on your phone now? Are you just stuck looking at a screen now? Is that the best use of your time? Or are now, yes, I get it, you're no longer doing certain activities, certain bad things, but then what are you doing with your time now? Are you just sleeping more now? See, that's not righteous. You can say, yes, God, I stopped doing all these bad things. I stopped doing all these bad habits, but now I just use my time to focus on my hobbies. That's not righteousness. So the question is, what are you doing with your time, saints? What are you doing with your life right now as you follow Jesus? How are we living for the Lord now? Because, saints, your righteous acts, your righteous deeds, they really matter. They matter. And if Revelations 14:13 has anything to tell us, we know that our righteous deeds, our acts actually follow us. Pastor Ron taught on that a few, at this point, months ago, right? When he taught on Revelations 14:13, it talks about how the righteous deeds of the saints, their deeds, their works follow them. Your works will follow you all the way to the judgment seat of God. Saints, your good righteous acts, they're going to follow you. And unless you repent of your sin and turn to Jesus, guess what? Your unrighteous deeds and those unrighteous acts will also follow you to the judgment seat of God. So the things that we do in this life is not for nothing. They will follow you. Your acts, they will follow you. How you live righteously, that's going to follow you. That will impact your, I'll say that part later. It'll impact your life in the age to come to an extent. This past week, three celebrities passed away. Yeah, they say it's starting to feel like that's true in a sense. I know it's just a saying, but three celebrities passed this week. Anybody know who they are?
I know one.
I know all of them.
All right, we're going to share the love. Who's one?
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
What?
Yeah. See, look at see. You see Sister Pat's face? That's how I was looking, right? Yeah. Hulk Hogan passed away. Who else passed away?
You asking me?
Yeah.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy Osbourne. Yeah.
Oh, no.
And Malcolm Jamal.
Warner. Theo from the Cosbys.
Oh, yeah.
He drowned.
He drowned.
In a river.
Yep.
Yep.
I figure how Ozzy died. There's no doubt about that. But oh my God!
You can believe it or not, everybody died of natural causes.
Ozzy did.
Yep.
That's a.
Well, not so much Jamal Warner. Yeah.
I don't think so.
But all three of these celebrities passed away, and my thought is, what is going to follow them to the judgment seat of God?
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking. Because guess what? Their fame will not matter there anymore.
I bet you Hulk Hogan will go to heaven.
Just give me a sec, Scott.
Yes, you did.
Their fame is not going to matter there. How popular they were will not matter when they stand before God. How many movies they made, that will not matter when they stand before God. How many number one hits or songs they made will not stand before God. It won't matter. The question is, did they live a life that is in accordance with God's will? Did they live a life committed to Jesus? What was their thoughts about Jesus? Did they live a life to the glory of God? Like, that is what's going to matter. I remember watching, especially Hulk Hogan, when I was a kid, I would get milk and I would drink it so you can leave a milk mustache. And so you can, and I would flex in a mirror, and you know, he would come and he would rip his shirt, and you know, he would do his thing when he enters the ring, and I wanted to be like Hulk Hogan, but those body slams really don't matter. Was he living to the glory of God? Did he do his things? Did he have God in his conscience? Like, that's what's going to matter. It doesn't matter what the world thought of you. You're not famous in heaven like that. You're not famous before God by your earthly things unless you do those acts to the glory of God. That's when those righteous deeds will follow you. But outside of that, it's worthless. And so that's my question. That when I think about them, I'm like, which acts are following them? What did they believe about Jesus? Because they will have to stand before God. And it's not about how many subscribers you had, how many followers on TikTok. That celebrity won't matter. How many movies you were, how many WrestleManias you were in, that's not going to matter. Where is their heart towards God? Did they live to his glory? That is what's going to matter. Those deeds. So as I was saying, saints, your good deeds, your actions, they're going to follow you. They will follow you, and they will, guess what? They will impact your life in the age to come. And why do I say this? It's because of what Jesus said in Matthew Chapter 6, verse 20. That's one of our first verses. Go with me there. We're going to look at around 6 or 7 verses, just like last time. I want the word to speak, not so much me. Go with me to Matthew 6, 20. Matthew, chapter 6, verse 20. And again, my point to bringing you here is to show you how your good deeds, your actions, will impact your life in the age to come. And then there's another verse. Keep Matthew 6 here. I want you to have another verse ready as well. Go to Matthew 19:21. It's 2 verses I want us to look at. Are we here? I'm sorry, I had to get there. So the first verse I want you to see here, Matthew 6:20, what does Jesus say? He says, but store up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Let's just keep reading the next verse. Keep going, 21. So you see the full context on why I'm bringing you here. Then he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Now go to Matthew 19:21. This is Jesus. He's talking to the rich young ruler. He says here to him, Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have what? Treasures in heaven. And both of these verses, you see that there's treasures that we store up in heaven. How? By our righteous acts and our good deeds. See, here in Matthew chapter 6, that was in the context when we just read, where Jesus said to store up treasures in heaven, that was in the context of the evil eye that we just read. That's why I take you there further in Matthew 6. And remember what the evil eye meant, right? The evil eye was a Hebraic way of describing a person that was greedy or stingy, right? And when you put these two verses together, what we read in Matthew 6 and Matthew 21, you see that the reason that Jesus tells this rich young ruler to go sell his possessions because Jesus recognized that he has an evil eye. He is stuck on keeping his possessions. So Jesus says to go and sell your possessions and you're going to get treasures in heaven, but he refuses to give those up. Why? Because he's greedy and he's thinking about himself. But nonetheless, we see from these two verses alone that our good deeds can impact the age to come. When we do good deeds in righteousness, we're actually storing up treasures in heaven. And so we're impacting the reward that we will get in the age to come. So that's why I say, saints, your righteous deeds that you do right now will follow you and will impact your life in the age to come. How much treasures will you store up for the age to come? How much will you store up in heaven by your righteous acts and your obedience to the Lord? Your righteous acts matter. So that's what I'm saying. It's not just we just do them, but it matters to the Lord. And we see these in these two verses alone, how what you do can impact your life in the age to come. We also see from these two verses that a sure way of doing righteousness and storing up treasures in heaven is to not have an evil eye, but also to think about those who don't have. And when you have the ability to give and have and help, that we should actually do it. That's how we avoid from having a evil eye. So when we do acts in righteousness, again, it matters to the Lord and actually can produce a treasure for us in heaven when we're doing it to his glory, when we're doing it in trueness and with a true heart. So those times, saints, when we went out to the homeless, those times when you went out to the encampment, those times where we went to denials and we gave food and we gave clothes, and guess what, saints? You were storing up treasures in heaven. Why? Because you were doing that to the glory of God, and you were doing that because you had put on a heart of compassion and you seen people that didn't have need. And yes, you met their need, but guess what? You were also living a life that was pleasing to God. So praise God for that, saints. That's what it means to store treasures in heaven. That is what it means to live righteously. And we did that as a church. On going out there, going to the encampments, praying with folks, giving them food. Why? Because we put this heart of compassion on, the heart of Jesus, and we seen people in need, and we gathered our funds, and we went and met those needs and prayed for them. And that's an act that is righteous, and that is an act that is pleasing to God, and that is an act that produces treasures in heaven. And so today, while I'm encouraging you to get out there active, to get out there and actively live righteous, not just by what you don't do, but what you actually do, I want to give you this warning. Because again, last week I've been encouraging you to live righteously, to do righteously, and the same thing I'm doing this week, but this week I want to give you this warning. I want you to look at your heart when you do your righteous deeds. Look at the motivation when you do your righteous deeds to make sure that you're doing them truly in righteousness. That you don't have any other motivation, that you're not doing it for your own glory, but that you're really doing this because you have this heart of compassion for people that are in need, or that you're doing this to the glory of God. And so that is my focus today. We're just going to look at some scriptures, just a handful of scriptures, let the scriptures speak, and I hope you are encouraged to just examine your own heart when you do these righteous deeds. Again, because I'm here trying to encourage you to do righteous deeds, but I want you to, again, examine the motive behind why you are doing what you are doing. And so the first passage of scripture that I want us to think on is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 15. I'm doing verse 1 through 15 because I want you to see the context. So go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 15. And the focus on our teaching as we go forward is just really looking at our heart when we do our righteous acts. Because all righteous acts are not created equal. They may look righteous on the outside, but if the heart of the person is not right, you can invalidate those righteous acts. And so I want to make sure we're aware of that as we strive to live righteously by the things that we do. We want our works to stand. We want them to stand. So we're going to read verses, I'm going to read verses 1 through 15. Really, the focus is going to be on verses 10 through 15, but I'm just going to read 1 through 15 so that you have a context of what we're reading here. Okay? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 15. This is what Paul says to these Corinthians. He says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but to as men of flesh, as to infants in Christ, or babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were yet not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able. Verse 3, for you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another says, I am of Apollos, are you not mere men? What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believe, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Verse 8, now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward. This is a key verse. But each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it, but each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. 12. Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Through fire. So here in this passage, Paul is, he's talking to these Corinthians here. And he wants to take these Corinthians into deeper spiritual truth. He wants to take them deep. He wants to give them some really deep, good doctrine, but he can't. He can't give them this deep doctrine because he doesn't think that they're ready. That's why he says in the first part of this voice, he says, you are still fleshly. He's like, I want to give you these deep spiritual truths, but you are not ready. You're still fleshly. Matter of fact, he says, you are infants in Christ. And he's telling them that they're still babes in Christ. And he says, it's evident that you are still babes in Christ because you are now creating these cliques or these circles based on the preacher that you like. And that's just like what we do today, right? Some people say, I'm a John Piper guy, right? Or I'm a John MacArthur guy. Or when Tim Keller was alive, they would say, I'm a Kellerite, right? Or whoever you like, whatever celebrity preacher you like, we do some of the same stuff that they were doing. The problem here is that division of my favorite celebrity preacher, it was actually causing division amongst the church. And so Paul is saying, see, you're still babes. You're over here talking about who's the best preacher, so to speak, and who do I like the most. And he's like, that's what, there's division amongst you. This is evident that you are still fleshly. You're still babes here. And so that's why he's making this statement. He's saying that you're still babes. But then he transitioned and says, you're still babes, but in reality, he says, you are God's field. And now he's talking about their conversion, how they came to the Lord. He said that you are God's field, and he says that I planted the seed, basically. I introduced you to Jesus. I gave you the gospel. I planted the seed. And he says Apollos is the one who watered. Apollos came through, and he spoke the word of God to you. But then he says, but it's God is the one who actually causes the growth. Our God is the one that actually does the conversion, which means, saints, you, I got good news for you, however you want to see this, you can't save anybody. Do you not know that? You can't convert anybody. In simple terms, all you can do is plant and water. You can plant the seed of the gospel. You can water by speaking life. You can water by praying. But it's ultimately up to God, as Paul says, to give the increase, to cause the growth, to bring about the conversion. So that's what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying that it's God. He's the one you guys should be boasting about, saying, I'm of God, I'm of Jesus, not I am of Paul or I am of Apollos. And next he tells them that he laid the foundation basically for them, and he says there's no other foundation other than Jesus Christ. So Paul laid the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, but then he says these other teachers, these other ministers, they can do acts of righteousness or good deeds by building on that foundation. But the foundation is Jesus. But he said, ultimately, yes, they can do good works. Those other teachers who you like, they can actually build on the foundation. But he goes to say that whatever work they're building on that foundation is Jesus on the day of judgment, which is the day, he says, those works will be scrutinized on the day of judgment. Those works will be inspected for the quality if they're truly good works. And then he says that if they're really good works, then you're actually going to get reward for those good deeds. That's why I say what you do matters. If you're doing truly good works, God is going to look at those works on the day of judgment. They'll get scrutinized. If they're truly good works, there's actually reward for your good works as you build on Jesus. But then Paul also says those who are doing works that burn up, he says they're not going to lose their salvation, but they'll get no reward for those acts because those were not true acts done in righteousness. So this shows us that our acts, again, they matter. When we do good things in Jesus' name, it matters. If we're doing it truly for his glory and for him, there is reward for those things. But if we're doing these acts for purposes other than the glory of God and Jesus, those works will be examined and they're going to get burnt up. There will be no reward for those works. And so, saints, my job as a pastor, one of my goals as a pastor is I want to see you all filthy rich. Not filthy rich with financial means, but I want to see you filthy rich in heavenly treasures, saints. I want to see you rich in good deeds. I want to see you rich in righteousness. I want to see your spiritual bank account. I want it to be plush as you live this life that is pleasing to God. That is one of my goals as a pastor. I'm sure the same thing with Pastor Brian. We want to see you spiritually rich, heavenly bank account. Plus, why? Because you're living this life that is pleasing to God. You're living and walking in righteousness. You're doing these good deeds. But I'm here again to warn us. We got to watch the motives of our heart. Because if we're doing these good deeds that look good on the outside, but my heart and my motive is not right on the inside, I'm going to invalidate that righteous act, and there is nothing for me. There's nothing to show for that. It's fake. There's no reward. There's no pleasure to the glory of God. So that's why I'm saying we have to watch our hearts. We have to watch our motives as we're going out and living this life that is pleasing to God, to do works in righteousness. We must examine our heart to make sure that our motives are right, that they're pure. So I want to look at a few more scriptures here, just to piggyback on that, to encourage you to examine your walk. So here in 1 Corinthians verse 1 through 15, the whole purpose was to show you that our works matter, that your works will be examined on the day they will be tried for the quality of them. If they're done in righteousness, there is reward. If not, they will get burned up. But you see that as long as you have the foundation, which is Jesus, your salvation is secure. So that's the most important thing is Jesus, right? That's the foundation. But reward comes from what are we doing in Jesus' name? How am I living righteously, right? So that's why I brought you here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 15. Next, I want to look at some more scriptures that causes us to examine our hearts. Our first verse, just have four here, is Old Testament, Proverbs 16:2. So go to the Old Testament, Proverbs 16:2. All right. Proverbs 16:2, we hear? It says that all the ways of a man, a person, are clean in their own sight. But what is the Lord's way? Say it again? The motives. There you go. But the Lord weighs the motives, right? Why are you doing it? Because oftentimes in our human sense, all the stuff we do is good and righteous. But what is God? What is God looking at? He's looking at that heart, that motive. And so I'm bringing you here again to ask you to examine your motives. Again, why are you doing these acts? Why are you treating and talking to a person this way? What is the motive? Is there a true concern for this person? Do you have a heart of Jesus and you're really concerned about this person? Are you really seeking the glory of God? Are you thinking about your treasures? Like, what is the motive? Or are you thinking about self? Are you really just trying to encourage and build up yourself and you're not really concerned about them? So you're just saying words to make you feel better. Because I know, I've heard of many people, they love saying, I love going out to feed the homeless because they always say, it makes me feel good inside. And these are people that I've talked to that are not believers, but they like going out to maybe do some good things. Why? Because it makes them feel good inside. I mean, I'm thinking about me ultimately. I'm going so I can feel good inside. Not that I have a heart of compassion for this other person who needs whatever I have. Not that I'm really thinking about their soul, but I'm thinking about me and I want to feel good inside. So, that always, yeah, that's part of it, yeah. So, again, here, examine our motives. Because that's what God is looking at. God is looking at the motives. So we should go and examine our heart there, our motives. Our next verse I want to show you. Go with me to Matthew, New Testament. Chapter 6, verse 1. We were already there earlier. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. So we want to look at our motives on this other side of righteous living, when we're actually going out, being active, doing good. We want to look at our motives. But look also what we want to look at. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Look what Jesus says here. Are we all here? You there, son? All right, you're getting there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Look what Jesus says. Beware of practicing your righteousness before what? Men to be what? Noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So that is something we got to guard against as we go live a life of righteousness. Are you doing it to be noticed by other people? Saints, I'm going to say this clear. Please do not do things to please Pastor Brian and I. I say that because I lived that. I did that. My wife will tell you that. I did certain things in ministry to please people in ministry, the heads in ministry, trying to live a life that is pleasing to them so that they would notice me and see me. So I'm saying, do not do righteous things so that Pastor Brian and I could say something about you. Don't live for our glory. Live for the glory of God. I did this. My wife would tell you, there was times I remember getting off of work, I'm speeding on the freeway, breaking the law like crazy so I can get to Bible study, not because I wanted to go to Bible study, but I didn't want leadership to say something about me. It wasn't that I was trying to get there, because I want to hear the word, and I want to encourage my brothers. It was more about, I want to please these other people. And guess what? You can't please, man, like you can't. So don't do your righteous acts so you get noticed by people. Do it for the glory of God. So examine your heart there when you're doing acts. Why are you doing these acts? Are you trying to get noticed by the people? What does Jesus say? If you do, he said, that's your reward. You don't have this reward with your Father in heaven. You don't have those heavenly treasures. You're actually not storing up anything when you're doing it for the pleasure of men. You're not storing up anything. It's like, that's your reward. So don't do it for the pleasure of ministry people or whoever. You're trying to impress somebody. No. Make your audience be an audience of one. The glory of God. Another verse. Two more I want to give you. And then, if time permits, we'll go into prayer to pray about these things. Philippians chapter 1, verse 15 through 17. Philippians chapter 1. And Scott, this will kind of relate to the evil eye. I'm sure you'll catch this here. Philippians chapter 1, verse 15 through 17. Look what Paul says here. He says, some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy. Look, they're preaching Christ, which sounds good on the outside, right? You're preaching Christ. Yeah, you're preaching Jesus. That's a good thing, right? But look what he says. Are preaching Christ from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. So everybody preaching, street preaching, doing ministry online, it ain't all of God. Some people are doing this with wrong motives. They're envious of other people. And so that's why they're preaching Jesus. Their heart is not right. So examine your heart. So he says, so they're preaching from envy, right? Strife. He says, the latter do it out of love, meaning those who are preaching from goodwill. They do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. But the others, and this is where I really wanted to get to, the former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambitions rather than pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. They are preaching Christ out of selfish ambitions. This reminds me of Christian content creators. If you are a Christian content creator, I gotta ask you, are you trying to go viral because you want to be famous and popular? Are you using Jesus so that you can be famous? Are you using Jesus for your own selfish gain? That's what this is about. You gotta examine your heart. You can't use Christ for your own selfish goals. And that's what these people were doing here. They were using Jesus for their own personal means. And it wasn't about Jesus. So ask yourself, am I doing this? when I do my righteous acts or I do my deeds? Am I really doing this for my own glory? This is selfish ambition here. This is to scratch some itch that I have inside. Oh, I like when people say these good words, these good things about me. So I'm going to quote all these scriptures so they can say, oh, you know the word. Like, is that why you quote scriptures? Are you thinking about yourself? Is this more selfish ambition? You want to be built up and lifted up in pride? Ask yourself, why am I doing what I do? Again, I'm just trying to get you to have pure motives. Again, because I want you to store treasures in heaven. I want you to live a life that's pleasing to God. So we have to watch these things, saints. We can't just think we've made it. These things will sneak upon you. So many ministers have failed behind selfish ambitions and destroyed ministries in church. Why? Because they start thinking about themselves and it's about their own power and their own glory. So you got to watch this. This is sneaky. Our flesh, the enemy is sneaky. So examine. So all I'm trying to get you to do is just to examine your walk. Selfish ambition. And the last verse that I want to give you today with regard to watching our heart when we do our acts of righteousness, deeds to the glory of God. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to read verse 3. That's the focus. But this is just so beautiful. We're going to read all of Paul's talk on love. So the focus is verse 3. Did I tell you 1 Corinthians 13, 3? I don't know if I just said. Okay, I'm sorry. I may have said second. First, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. That's our key verse, but I'm just going to read all of it because that's just such a beautiful word that the Holy Spirit is showing us about love. So I'm starting verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Our key verse that I want to bring you, or why I brought you here, was verse 3. But after that, we're just going to read all the way down to verse 8, really. Are we here, saints? All right. The word of God says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, just making noise if love is not in my tongues that I'm speaking. He says, if I have the gift of prophecy, it's a big gift here, and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove a mountain. That is a strong faith, right? To remove a mountain. But look what he says. But if I do not have love, I am nothing. We would think, whoa, that's a gift. You got the gift of prophecy. God is showing you all these insights. You know so much. You got so much faith. You can move mountains. Paul is saying, but if you don't have love, he says, I'm nothing. Wow. Verse 3, where I was going here today. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, this is our homeless ministry, right? This is what we did. Homeless ministry, we went to the little communities. So if I give, but he says, if I give all my possessions, I mean, everything I have to feed the poor, that's righteous, right? There's no way you can mess this up, right? That's righteous. You're giving all your stuff to feed the poor. This is righteousness, right? And he says, if I surrender my body to be burned, he's talking about martyrdom now. If I give my body to be burned as a martyr, right? But look what he says. But do not have love, it profits me nothing. Wait, I can go and do homeless ministry and use all of my check to feed the poor and give them shoes and clothing, and it means nothing if I don't have love? Oh, wait, I actually got to love too? Wait, I gotta give you clothes and food, but I gotta love you I just can't just say here. No, there has to be an affection in my heart, right? There has to be something going on in here where I see you and there's a wow. It means nothing. Wait, if I'm giving my body to be burned as a martyr, I always say this. Do you know there's many like If you go back and look at ancient history, there were many people, their goal was to die a martyr. Why? Because it would bring them fame, which you're not here to receive it, so I don't know why you would want it, but people did that. It was, I want to die in battle. Why? Because it's for my name and my family's name. So you people would really do, they would want to give their body. But Paul's saying, if you do not have love, it's not going to profit you anything. Let's just keep reading because this whole thing is good. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. He's showing us what love is. Not, this is not Hollywood love. This is real. This is agape love, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. Love and is not arrogant. I know I added an extra love in there. But verse 5, love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. I love that. It's not thinking about its own, right, Scott? Not that evil eye. It's thinking about others, right? He says, is not provoked, is not taken into account a wrong suffered. Oh my goodness, you've done me wrong. I'm really forgetting about it. Whoa, I'm not just keeping a grudge against you. Wow, that's love, right? Does not rejoice in unrighteousness. This is one of the main verses why I could never go to a gay wedding, because a wedding is a celebratory event, so I can't rejoice in unrighteousness, right? So if I love, I can't do that, right? So love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Verse 7, love bears all things. Love believes all things, meaning I'm thinking the best when you tell me something. Oh my goodness. Hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there's a gift of prophecy, then that will be done with. So all of these other gifts, they will pass away, he said, but love never fails. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there's knowledge, it will be done away with. Oh my goodness. Love. So, saints, we're doing our righteous acts. We got to consider these things, saints. That's all I wanted to do was lay that out there to tell you to think on those things. As you go and you live a life to please God, just examine your heart is what I'm getting at. Examine your actions. Examine your motives. As you live, you strive to live a life pleasing to God. Don't ever just think, I have arrived. I don't even got to consider that no more. Stay humble, clinging to the cross, clinging to Jesus, watching yourself, because the enemy is lurking. Our flesh is something. And we can find ourselves doing things not for the glory of God, but again, for selfish ambition, for whatever purpose that are not God-pleasing.